Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member by Abraham Gold. All right, and there Masechus Avodah Zorah, Daf Nun, the fourth parak, Rabbi Yishmael. The Zichu Masechus Avodah Zorah program has been dedicated. Azechin Nishmas, Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem Al Vasham, and Azechin Nishmas, his son, Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Al Vasham. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, on the previous daf, the fourth parak begins with Rabbi Yishmael's ruling. Shalosh avanim zobetzad markulis asuros. Three stones found near each other near markulis are prohibited, but two such stones are permitted. The Chachamim say, Shiniris imo, those appearing to be with Merkulis are prohibited, but those that do not appear to be with it are permitted regardless of the number of stones. Rav Yochanan explains that if they are known to have fallen from Merkulis, all agree the stones are forbidden. They argue where it's unknown if the stones were part of the idol. Furthermore, the Gemara ultimately explains that if there is no obstruction between the idol and the stones, all agree that stones within four amos are forbidden. They argue where a mound lies between Markulis and these stones, or they lie further than four amos. Rabbi Shmuel holds osim Markulis katan b'tzad Markulis gadol. They make a small Markulis near a large Markulis. Therefore, three stones which are similar to Markulis are forbidden, but two are permitted. The Rabban hold they do not make a small Markulis near a large one, and so only prohibit stones close enough to have fallen from the idol. Point number two, once idolaters who did not worship Markulis removed stones which had been placed for the idol and paved roads with them. Some rabbis avoided using these roads and others did not. Rav Yochanan commented, the son of holy ones walks upon them and we should avoid them? This expression referred to Rabbi Menachem, the son of Rabbi Bissimai, who would not even gaze at the image on a coin. Those who avoided the roads did so based on Rav's statement, Mananglan to Krovus Avodus Kochavim. From where do we derive about an idolatrous offering, Shenua Betila Olamis, that it can never be nullified? The Pasuk refers to a Takrovus Avodus Kochavim as Zivche Mesim, offerings of the dead. Just as the dead can never be nullified, neither can a Takrovus Avodus Kochavim. Those who used the roads held these stones never became a Tekrovus Avodus Kochavim because, being a Ke'im Panim V'leka, we require offerings similar to those brought inside the Mikdash, and that is lacking here since stones are not used for sacrifices in the Mikdash. And point number three, a Braisa permits deworming or applying fertilizer to a wounded tree during Shemitah, but not during Chol Hamoed. One may not prune a tree in either period, but may smear a prune branch with oil during both. Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah commented, "Beleis nagar v'lo bar nagar difarkina." There is no scholar nor scholar's son who can explain this brisa. Ravina declared he was neither a scholar nor a scholar's son, but would explain the brisa, and he sought to identify the difficulty. The difference between Chol Hamoed and Shemitah is understandable because regarding Shemitah, the Torah prohibited melacha, labor, whereas on Chol Hamoed, even tircha, exertion, is forbidden. Deworming and applying fertilizer, which are preserving the tree's health, are permitted on Shemitah, but pruning, which is strengthening the tree, is prohibited. This distinction also resolves contradictions found regarding some other activities by explaining that there are two forms of each, where the protective form is permitted, while the constructive form is prohibited. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah did not understand why smearing oil is permitted, but applying fertilizer is prohibited, since both are preserving the tree. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, on the previous daf, the fourth parak begins with Rabbi Yishmael's ruling, Shalosh avanim zo betzad zo betzad markulis asuros. Three stones found near each other, near markulis, are prohibited, but two such stones are permitted. The Chachamim say, Shiniris imo, those appearing to be with markulis are prohibited, but those that do not appear to be with it are permitted regardless of the number of stones. Rav Yochanan explains that if they are known to have fallen from markulis, all agree the stones are forbidden. They argue where it's unknown if the stones were part of the idol. Furthermore, the Gemara ultimately explains that if there is no obstruction between the idol and the stones, all agree that stones within four amos are forbidden. They argue where a mound lies between Markulis and these stones, or they lie further than four amos. Rabbi Shmuel holds osim Markulis katan b'tzad Markulis gadol. They make a small Markulis near a large Markulis. Therefore, three stones which are similar to Markulis are forbidden, but two are permitted. The Rabban hold they do not make a small Markulis near a large one, and so only prohibit stones close enough to have fallen from the idol. Point number two, once idolaters who did not worship Markulis removed stones which had been placed for the idol and paved roads with them. Some rabbis avoided using these roads and others did not. Rav Yochanan commented, the son of holy ones walks upon them and we should avoid them? This expression referred to Rabbi Menachem, the son of Rabbi Bissimai, who would not even gaze at the image on a coin. Those who avoided the roads did so based on Rav's statement, Mananglan to Krovus of Odrus Kochavim, from where do we derive about an idolatrous offering, Shenu Abetila Olamis, that it can never be nullified? The Pasuk refers to a Takrovus of Odrus Kochavim as Zivche Mesim, offerings of the dead. Just as the dead can never be nullified, neither can a Takrovus of Odrus Kochavim. Those who used the roads held these stones never became a Tekrovus of Odrus Kochavim because, being a Ke'im Pnim V'leika, we require offerings similar to those brought inside the Mikdash, and that is lacking here since stones are not used for sacrifices in the Mikdash. And point number three, a Braisa permits deworming or applying fertilizer to a wounded tree during Shemitah, but not during Chol Moed. One may not prune a tree in either period, but may smear a prune branch with oil during both. Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah commented, "Vleis Nagar v'lo Bar Nagar Tifarkina." There is no scholar nor scholar's son who can explain this brisa. Ravina declared he was neither a scholar nor a scholar's son, but would explain the brisa, and he sought to identify the difficulty. The difference between Chol Hamoed and Shemitah is understandable because regarding Shemitah, the Torah prohibited melacha, labor, whereas on Chol Hamoed, even tircha, exertion, is forbidden. Deworming and applying fertilizer, which are preserving the tree's health, are permitted on Shemitah, but pruning, which is strengthening the tree, is prohibited. This distinction also resolves contradictions found regarding some other activities by explaining that there are two forms of each, where the protective form is permitted, while the constructive form is prohibited. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah did not understand why smearing oil is permitted, but applying fertilizer is prohibited, since both are preserving the tree. All right, so now we got our Siman Daf Nun, and our standard Siman is a non-stop flight. So here goes. The man about to board a non-stop flight, who wasn't sure if the rock separated by Markulis by a pile of suitcases were mutter to use or not, saw the flight crew take the stones and use them to pave the runway for the flight that was going to spray fertilizer on a field during Shemitah, but not during Chol Hamoed. Once again, slow motion. The man about to board a non-stop flight. A non-stop flight? That must be learned off. Nun. The man about to board a non-stop flight who wasn't sure if the rock separated from Markulis by a pile of suitcases were mutter to use or not, which reminds us, the Gemara brings some halachos about stones found in the area of Markulis. So the man about to board a non-stop flight who wasn't sure if the rock separated from Markulis by a pile of suitcases were mutter to use or not, saw the flight crew take the stones and use them to pave the runway, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses Markulis stones which were removed to pave streets. So the man about to board a non-stop flight who wasn't sure if the rock separated from Markulis by a pile of suitcases were mutter to use or not, saw the flight crew take the stones and use them to pave the runway for the flight that was going to spray fertilizer on a field during Shemitah, but not during Chol Hamoed, which reminds us, a braisa permits deworming or applying fertilizer to a wounded tree during Shemitah, but not during Chol Hamoed. One may not prune a tree in either period, but may smear a prune branch with oil during both. The difference between Chol Hamoed and Shemitah is understandable because regarding Shemitah, the Torah prohibited melacha, labor, whereas in Chol Hamoed, even tircha, exertion, is forbidden. Deworming and applying fertilizer, which are preserving the tree's health, are permitted on Shemitah, but pruning, which is strengthening the tree, is prohibited. So once again, the man about to board a non-stop flight who wasn't sure if the rock separated from Markulis by a pile of suitcases were mutter to use or not, saw the flight crew take the stones and use them to pave the runway for the flight that was going to spray fertilizer on a field during Shemitah, but not during Chol Hamoed. All right, so now it's time for a four blabach chazara. Daf Mem Vav. So the simmer Daf Mem Vav is a cow because cows go moo. So here goes. The cow farmer, cow? That must more on Daf Mem Vav. Moo. The cow farmer who was permitted to use the stones that fell off the mountain and worshipped as Avodah Zorah to build a pen for his cows, which reminds us, the sons of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan discussed Avnei Harshin Nidalduhu, stones which became detached on their own from a mountain and worshipped. One group prohibited these stones in benefit, and the other group permitted them. This second opinion compares these stones to a worshipped mountain which has no Tfisas Yedei Adam, involvement of man's hands, and remains permitted. Although a mountain is attached to the ground, an animal, which also remains permitted when worshipped, proves that even detached items remain permitted if they lack tfisas yidei adam. So the cow farmer who was permitted to use the stones that fell off the mountain and worshipped as Avodah Zorah to build a pen for his cows did not allow them to be used to build Amizbeah, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama asks, if someone bows to a mountain, which remains permitted in benefit, Avon of Malhul Mizbeach, can its stones be used for the Mizbeach? Do we say, Yesh Nevad B'machubra Eitzel Gavoah, a worshipped item does disqualify something attached to the ground as an offering carbon for the Most High. Although it's mutar bahana, does it still become disqualified as an offering, like a worshipped animal is disqualified as a carbon, despite remaining permitted in benefit? So the cow farmer who is permitted to use the stones that fell off the mountain and worshipped as avodah zorah to build a pen for his cows did not allow them to be used to build a mizbeach, and also stopped his farmhands from using wheat from his field that was worshipped to be brought for menachos, which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama asked, "Hamishtachim lekamas chitim mahu menachos? If one bows to standing wheat, can it be used for flour offerings since it was physically changed from its former state?" Daf Mem Zayin. So the Simmer Daf Mem Zayin is a maze. So here goes. At the Chol Moed Sukkos maze. Maze? That must be a Daf Mem Zayin. At the Chol Moed Sukkos maze, the contestants who were supposed to grab a lulav from the worship tree and bring it to a sukkah for the mitzvah, which reminds us, Reish Lakish asked, "Hamishtachim lekamas lulav mahu mitzvah? If one bows to a palm tree, can its branch be used for the mitzvah of lulav?" The question is where the tree was planted and was only later worshipped, and follows Rabban's opinion that such a tree remains permitted in benefit, assuming it is disqualified for an offering. Mimais klapi gavo or lo, is it repulsive to be used for the Most High, meaning for mitzvahs as well or not? Rav Dimi reported that Reish Lakish's question was about an asherah, which was nullified, which was initially prohibited in all benefit, and subsequently became permitted. Do we say yesh dichui etzel mitzvos? There is rejection regarding mitzvos, meaning it remains disqualified even after becoming permitted in benefit or not. So at the Chol Moed Sukkos maze, the contestants who are supposed to grab a lulav from the worship tree and bring it to the sukkah for the mitzvah were blocked by rubble on one path from a collapsed avodah zorah house that shared a wall with the maze, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Mishnah Beso Samach Levodos Kochavim Benafo, if one's house adjoined a building worshipped for idolatry, and the shared wall fell, Asur Livnoso, it's forbidden to rebuild it, which would be building a structure for idolatry. Rather, Konas Betok Shalo Arba Amos, he draws back 4 amos into his own property and builds the wall there. So at the Chol Moed Sukkos maze, the contestants who were supposed to grab a lulav from the worship tree and bring it to a sukkah for the mitzvah were blocked by rubble on one path from a collapsed avodah zorah house that shared a wall with the maze, and blocked on another by a wall with plaster and images on it that they removed as they passed it. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Shosha Batinhen, there are 3 types of idolatrous houses regarding nullification laws. Number 1, if a house was initially built to be worshipped, the entire house is forbidden and must be nullified. Number 2, if he plastered it and decorated with images for idolatry and thereby added to it, notel mashechidesh, he removes what he added and the house is permitted. If one brought an idol into his house and removed it, the house is permitted. Daf Memches. So the Simmer Daf Memches is Brainiac. So here goes. The Brainiac, that must be more on Daf Memches. The Brainiac trying to determine the statistical chances that the Asherah tree had been planted originally for avodah zorah versus only being pruned and trimmed for future growths to be worshipped, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists 3 types of Asherah. Number 1, if one planted initially for idolatry, it's forbidden. Number 2, Gido Opisol Hashem Avodos Kochavim. If he pruned or trimmed the tree intending the future growths to be for idolatry, he removes the new growths and it's permitted. And number 3, if he set up an idol underneath, he removes the idol and the tree is permitted. So the Brainiac trying to determine the statistical chances that the Asherah tree had been planted originally for avodah zorah versus only being pruned and trimmed for future growths to be worshipped, informed a man passing under it that he was tamei, which reminds us, a Mishnah states, lo yeshu betzila, one may not sit in the shade of an Asherah, but if he did, he remains tahor. Lo yavor tachteh, and he may not pass under the tree itself, bimavor tamei, and if he did, he's tamei. The Gemara explains that there's surely a tekrobus avodos kochavim, an idolatrous offering buried underneath, and this Tana holds such items are metamei with ohel, in this case the tree. So the Brainiac trying to determine the statistical chances that the Asherah tree had been planted originally for avodah zorah versus only being pruned and trimmed for future growths to be worshipped, informed a man passing under it that he was tameh, while another Brainiac told a farmer to come back to plant under the tree in the winter when the benefit from the leaves is canceled due to the harm from the shade. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah permits planting vegetables under an Asherah during the winter when its shade harms the plants, but not during the summer when the shade benefits them. Rav Yossi prohibits planting even during the winter, because the leaves fall on them and fertilizes them. Daf Mem Tes. So the Simmer Daf Mem Tes is meat. So here goes. The butcher was going to put meat. Butcher? That must be wrong, Daf Memtaz. The butcher was going to put meat in the dough that had been leavened from a combination of yeast of chulin and truma, which reminds us, the Gemara suggests that the question of zev zegorim is a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan. A Mishnah states, sor shel chulin v'shel truma shenafu toche isa. If leaven of chulin and leaven of truma fall into a dough, and neither was sufficient to leaven the dough on its own, but they combined to leaven the dough, Rabbi Eliezer says, achra achron aniba. I fall the last one. If the chulin fell in second, the entire dough is permitted to non-kohanim. If the truma fell in second, it's prohibited to non-kohanim. The Chachamim say that regardless of when the forbidden soor fell in, it only prohibits the dough if it was enough to leaven the dough by itself. So the butcher was going to put meat in the dough that had been leavened from a combination of yeast of chulin and truma, had to wait for the old oven fired up from a share wood to cool down. Which reminds us, if one fired up an oven with a share wood, if this firing completed a new oven's hardening, it must be destroyed because any subsequent use benefits from this necessary firing. Vimyashan yutsan, if it's old, it must be cooled to avoid benefiting from the firing and may be used afterwards. So the butcher was going to put meat in the dough that had been leavened from a combination of yeast of chulin and truma, had to wait for the old oven fired up from a share wood to cool down, and then be reheated from shavings from an asherah tree that were taken to beautify it. Which reminds the Gemara asks, what is the law of those chips which were removed for the asherah's benefit? Do they remain prohibited like the asherah, or are they permitted because shavings are not worshipped? Rav Huna and Chiburei de Rav disagreed about this question, and Abraisa supports the lenient opinion. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we discuss if it's permitted to plant vegetables under an asherah during the winter when its shade harms the plants? That's on Daf Memches.
Good.
Number 2. Which stuff do we discuss passing under the shade of an asherah or the asherah itself regarding tuma? That's on Daf Memches.
Good.
Number 3. Which stuff do machlokas whether one can grind an idol and scatter it to the wind or throw it into the sea? That's on Daf Memdalad.
Good.
Number 4. Which stuff do you discuss the difference between doing things to preserve a tree's health versus strengthening the tree regarding Shemitah and Chol Hamoed? That's on Daf
Nun.
Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you discuss if it's permitted to use Avnei Harsh and Nidaldu, stones which became detached on their own from a mountain, and worship? That's on Daf Membav.
Good.
Number 6. Which stuff do you discuss what the din is of Markuli stones which were removed to pave streets? That's on Daf
Nun.
Good. Number 7. Which stuff was the question asked if someone bows to a mountain, a van of Mahu Mizbeach, can its stones be used for the Mizbeach? That's on Daf Membav.
Good.
Number 8. Which stuff do we have in Machokes about stones found in the area of Markulis? That's on Daf
Nun.
Good. Number 9. Which stuff do we know that there are three types of asherah trees? That's on Daf Memches.
Good. Number 10.
Which stuff do the question of one bough sustaining wheat can it be used for minchas since it was physically changed from its former state when it was ground? That's on Daf Membav.
Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.